Welcome, everybody, to the Depths of Motherhood podcast. I'm your host, Danielle. Today, we welcome Krista onto the show. You might have been following Krista on Instagram. Her handle is Binge Eating Coach. If not, and this is a subject close to your heart, or maybe you are concerned for someone else, or maybe just trying to understand this topic, then head over to her Instagram because she's always sharing lots of really helpful information and tips. And so today we sit together and she shares her expertise and tools, and they're from a place of experience. She's been there and she's tried and tested these tools so that she can help other people. She can support other people. Now she's on the other side. In this conversation, we're going to be exploring a range of topics surrounding binge eating, from challenges to restrictive eating, emotional triggers, to the habitual aspects of this struggle. And we'll delve into ways in which we can support ourselves through tools and strategies that can really bring us back into the present moment and create some space so that we have more choices. And I also open up about my own personal experiences with binge eating and bulimia. And looking back, it is almost surreal to think how much it consumed my life. I had no idea what I was up against. I felt like a failure as well because I couldn't simply become anorexic and rely on the sheer willpower not to eat. So I felt let down over and over again. I was really lacking knowledge and support. So there was this constant cycle happening. And I never realized how deeply it affected my mood and my relationships. To me, it was normal because I was around a lot of people that were drinking alcohol. And so I would see them be sick almost every weekend because of drinking excessive amounts of alcohol. So I just felt like this was no different. I kind of justified it. And it took me a while to really start to see that, wow, to put a label on it. Experiencing something in my life that is labeled as bulimia, that is labeled as an eating disorder. And when I started to put labels on it, it actually helped me to hold space for it. And I can't actually remember the turning point, but all of the tools and practices that have helped me to come back to myself, whether it's through movement, through eating, through meditation, whatever it is, these practices that bring me back into the moment, back to self-love, back into a spaciousness where I get choice. These things have really, really supported me. Because I remember the urges being so powerful, so overwhelming, that I didn't think I had a choice at the time. There was nothing else. But I can sit here and I can say that there is another side. And you can do it. And I'm literally standing proof of that. It was around the age of 24 that I actually made space to truly look at this and find a way through it. I speak about it in this episode about the moments that have arose during motherhood and how I was able to actually see it and love it and not go back into the habits and the patterns again. So if you are struggling with this right now, if this is a challenge in your life, or it's something that keeps coming up, or it's something that doesn't seem like it's a big deal, but you definitely know it has a handle on you in some way, or maybe you know someone, you're seeing the signs, maybe they haven't admitted it yet, maybe they have, and you're just curious to how you can hold space and love that and support either yourself or someone else through it. Thank you for being here. Thank you for showing up. This is a massive step. And I know that listening to this podcast will offer you some guidance and some support on your journey. So thank you so much. And in other news, I just wanted to let you know what's happening in the women's circle. If you've been following the podcast, you know that I have another space, women's circle online. So right now I will be sending out a womb heart forecast at the beginning of every month. And this will include a morning and evening practice. It will include an internal reflection exercise. And there will be a moment to reflect on what's happening in the collective. There will be rituals and tools and reflections around the moon phases. There'll also be a DIY recipe or practice to help you live a less toxic life. And so much more in there as well. So you can head over to the show notes and there'll be a link in there for you to come and join us. All right, so let us get into this episode. Before we do, just notice how your body is resting in this moment with all these words that I've said, with all these arisings in your body as you listen and you absorb. How does it feel to be exploring this topic? Is there a way in which you can make space for all these sensations within you, for all the thoughts, for all the emotions? Can you make more space with each breath and come to land here with us? Thank you for being here. Welcome, everybody. This week, we are going to be talking about binge eating and everything surrounding that. And this is a subject close to my heart because I have had challenges with my relationship with food since a kid. I think the earliest I remember was around, I don't know, like 11 years old, all the way through to 25. So we'll talk about that more, I'm sure, in this conversation. But let's welcome Krista on. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. I definitely love talking about this topic because what you just shared in your own life is so common, and it can be a taboo thing to talk about and have so much shame wrapped up in it.
Oh yeah, right. Totally. And we've been asking the community so much, like, let's talk about this. It surprised me because I actually felt so alone during my journey. And then I hear now, I'm like, oh, this is coming up a lot, especially on the other side, of pregnancy, when people are transitioning into motherhood. But before we get in, I'd love to know what brought you to this point of why you are doing this exploration and sharing this information with your audience.
So I also had my own journey with food, and I started dieting at a really young age and then ended up struggling with binge eating. And it was something that I was unfortunately really wrapped up in and had a more extreme relationship with food where I was binging, and then I struggled with bulimia. And through overcoming that and then deciding that I wanted to get into helping other people overcome this, I've been able to really create simplified ways of talking about binge eating and working through these things that can feel so daunting, so shameful, so overwhelming. And so it's definitely become a passion of mine. And I do different kinds of coaching. I do one-on-one coaching. Next year, my focus is really going to be group coaching. But it's something that, like I said, that shame and the embarrassment around struggling with food can be something that takes up so much mental energy that you can't have that mental energy to focus on the things that you really care about and really figure out your passions in life and really figure out who you are. And so much of your mental space is taken up by food. And that's where a lot of my passion comes from for helping people with binge eating. It's because I really think that if less women had to spend so much of their lives thinking about food, we'd just live in a better world. We'd have access to so much more amazingness that people have to offer.
Wow. That's such a good way of looking at it. Because I remember through my times when my mind was only consumed by food. What will be the next thing I eat or don't eat and then have a binge? You know, like, you know what? I'm not going to eat all day because then I'll eat so much. And I did feel like that lack of drive in life, that kind of was where all my energy was going. That was like my secret passion. And then, like you said, shame. There was so much shame. And I had shame and guilt the second thing. And it took a lot. And actually, it came up for me. I'd done a lot of work because I also had bulimia. And then I'd done so much work. I kind of hadn't had to experience that, them challenging aspects with food from the age of like, I don't know, like 23, 24, up until I became pregnant. And then I became pregnant and I kind of embraced it. I was like, okay, like I want to eat because I'm hungry. But then when I went into postpartum, that's when I saw it arise again because I was really hungry. But then at the same time, still deeply conditioned by how I think my body should look. And the food was comforting for me as well. But I was drawn towards the foods that weren't nourishing. So that was something that was really coming up for me. And there I took it from a different perspective this time. Like, I don't know, I just felt more grounded. And seeing my daughter, I was just able to, it was like seeing myself, you know, I'm like, I don't want to go through this again. Like, I just found a different strength that I never experienced before. But I wonder if you could explain, like, what is binge eating? What does it mean?
Yeah. So binge eating from the perspective of like the DSM-5 and the definition of binge eating disorder is sometimes a little different than what people might be experiencing. And so I think wherever you are on that spectrum of if you're eating a large amount of food, there's a lot of shame around it. It's in one sitting and there's definitely an inclination to hide it or just not share that you're actually eating this much food. That probably falls into the category of binge eating. And whether or not it's diagnosable doesn't mean that there's not a lot of shame and energy going into that. Diagnosable binge eating disorder might be treated a little bit differently. But when it comes to looking at your life and understanding what you're struggling with, if there's times where you just feel out of control, like you start eating and you just can't stop, or maybe you eat a little bit more than you planned or think you're supposed to be eating, and then you end up just saying, screw it, I already messed up, I'll be better tomorrow. Those are definitely the types of thought patterns that fall into this binge eating category. And the way I like to explain what causes this is three things, and that's restriction. So if you have a history of dieting and not eating enough food, physically, your body is going to rebound from that by asking for more food. And when you mess up, saying, screw it, we'll just eat everything in sight. The other thing is emotions, which definitely play a role in different ways. But it can even just be like you get to the end of the day and your kids are in bed. You're finally able to have a moment and you're just getting relief from saying, whatever, we'll just eat this, and letting your guard down. And that's one of the most common ways that the emotional cause of binge eating comes into play is just, I need relief. And the food and just eating everything in sight is giving me a little bit of that relief temporarily, but it's there. And then the final thing is habit. It can become something that's just like, yeah, I go to the store and I get these foods and I numb out while I eat them. And those are three different things that you might experience a little bit of one, or maybe a little mix of all three, but those are what cause binge eating. Most of the causes can kind of fall under one of those umbrellas.
Yeah, I resonate with all of them. Like, I remember growing up and seeing, I'll not say who, but like within my family, you know, just eating lots and lots of food very openly, and then just like feeling so much guilt around that, so much shame, like, oh, now look at me, I'm going to have to diet next week, I'm not going to be able to fit into my clothes, just like the words that you hear growing up. And I always saw my mom on a diet, like she was always dieting, but then just like not able to stop herself from eating that food. And it was like, oh, I saw it so clearly as I've gone through my journey of like what I was brought up seeing as a child and how that had an effect on me. And then I went on to do different sports where they were restricting food as well. So like I was boxing and I had to be a certain weight. And that restriction made me crave it even more. So at the weekends, I would just go for it, like till the point of feeling sick, like just like, well, I was being sick these times, but just like, oh, just like can't move. And then it kind of changed to being like, I just needed to feel full. Like when I felt full, I felt cozy. Like it was like an association with, I have to be full. And then I feel at home, like I feel safe.
Yeah, I definitely felt the same way when I was struggling, as I had a hard time letting go and kind of had to go through a mourning process of this feeling of just being stuffed full. Because the amount of food I was using to stuff myself was never really the amount of food that I felt physically comfortable eating or aligned with how I wanted to live my life. But there's something about that that can be comforting, and it can come back to things that you've experienced in your life and things you've experienced in your childhood. And just recognizing that there is that desire to feel really full and to feel just kind of numb in a way. Like the brain chatter is turned off when you're in that space of just being really full.
Yeah. And it also, as you say that, I'm thinking, you know, a child, for instance, the thing that they do for comfort, like suckling on the nipple or having something in their mouth, their jaw moving, and just knowing when they need food. It's like, it's our like innate wisdom to be drawn to eat food and to chew, and it's like soothing for us. But then when you mix it with that, when you're relying on it for comfort, like as a tool, I mean, as when you're using food as a way to get through a situation, as a coping mechanism, I'm sure that's when it becomes an issue and it becomes that unhealthy relationship. Hi.
You want to say hi?
She just said, yeah. I'm just going to untangle her from this web of cables.
Daddy?
Yeah.
Unless you want to stay with me, you can stay with me if you want and say hi. You can say goodbye if you want to say hi.
So what was I just saying? I can't remember where I was. Oh, yeah. I wonder if you could drop into that, though, like from the standpoint of that. Yeah, that the comfort from a child. Have you looked into that much? You know, like suckle, because babies suckle all the time, right? They have something in their mouths. And then I wonder, you know, growing up, we just haven't learned the skills. I didn't learn healthy coping mechanism skills, I would say, growing up. I wasn't taught how to handle my big emotions. It was a lot of like push them emotions to one side, like man up is one of them. That was just such a big common thing to say, especially I was in the army. It's like, man up. I'm like, for one, I'm a woman, but like why are we saying this anyway? And just being like, it's gonna be okay, just like we'll get through this, like just leave it. And then you're suppressing all these emotions that are already there anyway. And I think that's where the secrecy comes in, it because of this, like from society, not to show emotions, not to sit and be with them. So they're still there. And I think that's where the secrecy came for me, was because I didn't want to show anyone I had these big emotions, but I needed to deal with them. And I didn't have any other coping mechanisms that were working for me. That was my thing, but sorry, Gwen.
The way everything you said is definitely coming back to something I see a lot, and it's just the way that we're taught as a society in general, honestly, to manage our emotion and look at these big feelings that we experience as humans. It's just not very effective. And a lot of the generation having kids now, our parents really saw you dealing with the big emotions. Most people do not have parents that really have the ability or have the education themselves on how to feel feelings. And so many of us were told, be quiet, shh, focus on the positive, be quiet, don't make a fuss. And when you're experiencing big emotions and you don't develop the skills of being present with them and just letting them be and moving past them in a really healthy way, what happens is things like binge eating can be your way of dealing with those big emotions. So whether it's just overwhelmed by being a new mom and dealing with maybe, you know, or adding in multiple kids and you're going through these transitions.
Sleep debt. Yeah. Sleep deprivation.
Or even if it's just like the normal daily life is bringing up things, people are going through things, and you're
right.
Maybe you're going through medical issues, or you're grieving, or even just you're trying to manage your time and it's hard. All of those things can be things that bring up things like overwhelm and stress and shame. And those are feelings that most of us do not learn to just be present with. Yeah. And I was even talking to my husband last week. He had a really stressful week, and I was just encouraging him to name the emotions that he was feeling, because he was shutting down and it's not even natural for him to just to think, oh, I'm feeling overwhelmed. That's why I'm shutting down.
Yeah.
And so even just naming our emotions is huge and something that most of us didn't learn how to do. So we learned other skills that comfort us. And that's kind of a beautiful thing, that we're just able to figure out ways to comfort ourselves. But now, if you're listening to this, you have the ability to step back and look at, okay, maybe I could work on these skills. Maybe this is something I could develop now to help me, so that things like binge eating or mindlessly scrolling or turning to a glass of wine or multiple glasses of wine to make myself feel better isn't something that feels like a need or feels like an overwhelming desire.
Such a good point, because actually I remember going from binge eating to something else. And that something else to the outside world seemed very productive and very helpful to the community. It was just like voluntary work. I would be constantly doing voluntary work, but it was a distraction from my emotions. And so it's very interesting how they can hide, because it's not always hiding behind something that's obviously destructive. It could be hiding behind anything. And just, I love that thing of just like naming your emotion. We did something recently in the group, which was we felt a certain area of our body. And one of the members in there, she was like, I was feeling. And then I realized the feeling was anger. And she's like, I was so surprised to see that that was there. And I think just by waiting and feeling your body without any expectations, you're going to get so many messages through. But that is a tough part of sitting with that and being with it, because we've been told for so long that them feelings, them emotions are not welcome. So why would we sit with them? Like, what is it going to offer us? But of course, it's given you such juicy information that is going to help you on your life journey. And one thing that I remembered was, I think one of the reasons I started to move towards binge eating after I'd give birth was because I wasn't getting the right nutrition. And then I questioned, was this what was happening all along? Because through childhood, I didn't have the most nutrient-dense diet. And then in the army, I was training so much, and I know for a fact I was not getting the nutrients I needed. Then now, so I was a vegan for 12 years. Then I also stayed a vegan for like 3 months whilst I was pregnant. And I noticed in my daughter's teeth, they're not strong. Like, they are starting to get cavities. And so I've done a lot of research into this, and I started to bring things into my diet, like cod liver, vitamin K, and beef liver, like these things. And her teeth, literally the dents that she had, are going away. And so I say that because I realized, even though my diet was healthy, I still wasn't getting the nutrients I needed. And I'm wondering if that's why I was so drawn to eating just like anything. Because if I eat that sugary thing, then I know it's going to give me, like, my body will think it's had something, but on a deep cellular level, it just was not getting nourished.
Yeah. And that's where there's sometimes that combination of restriction, even if it's not purposeful restriction, leading to binges, because it does physically increase your desire for food. There's a really interesting study that has a couple names. One of them is the Minnesota Starvation Experiment, where a group of men ate about 1,500 calories a day for a period of time, which, I mean, you think about the diets recommended for a lot of women, that's a very large amount compared to some diets. But I can tell you for sure, when I was like in this calorie counting phase, like, oh yeah, like 1,500 calories is the goal. But these men were eating 1,500 calories, and showing signs of starvation, like obsessing about food, thinking like just their personality changed, their mental health changed. They were printing out recipes and obsessing over recipes. And all of that, I think, is just really important to recognize if you're struggling with the emotional piece. That's a huge piece, but sometimes you can't really work on that until you acknowledge that there's some physical needs that need to be met. And when you aren't meeting those physical needs, overcoming binge eating is so much harder. And having a healthy relationship with food is so much harder. So recognizing where there might be gaps, where there might be even mental blocks of you not having this permission to eat, that can play a big role in binge eating.
That's a really tough first step, though, isn't it? Especially when it's around eating. And then we're like, well, maybe you should eat more of this. Because the thought process would be, I need to stop. But actually, it's like, let's get to the foundation of like, nourish your body, because it's going to affect your hormones and the way that you think and things that you desire. Really interesting. That's a great point. And so what are the actual effects of binge eating? What happens when you do this?
Well, usually there is a pattern of restriction and binge eating. So, I mean, one of the effects is definitely mental, where thinking about food all of the time is very, very common. So finding that you're waking up thinking about food, you're thinking about food throughout the day, that is definitely an effect that has an effect on so many areas of life, physically and mentally. There's definitely effects of binge eating of like, we've been taught to have so much shame around weight and size. And there's definitely an effect there. But that's something that a lot of people are very familiar with. Sometimes I like to help people also understand other ways that it might be affecting them. Like, if I were to go get off of this call and go just binge the way I used to, I'd miss out on whatever else, or maybe this evening, I would miss out on time spent with my husband and my dogs and whatever we're playing, like whatever we end up doing tonight, being present, making memories, enjoying whatever I end up spending my time doing. If I end up just spending the night reading a book, I'm missing out on that experience if I'm numbing myself. And I think that that's also something to really start to notice if you're struggling with your relationship with food. It's, what do you want to fill your life with if it's not thinking about food all of the time? And if you can start to make more room for those things, it can be really helpful. But I mean, to answer your question, it's definitely different for everybody. But to start to notice the ways that binge eating is impacting you in a compassionate way can be very, very helpful in helping you overcome it, helping you find tools and feel empowered to figure out the pieces that are going to help you create the life that you want to be living and treat your body in the way that you want to be treating it.
Just as you're saying that, I had a flashback to being at the dinner table and like having people that I love around me and great conversations. But all I can think of is like, I want to go and get the dessert out of the fridge. You know, like I couldn't connect. It was like I was there, but I wasn't there.
So hard to connect or feel present when you are in that headspace of not being able to get a food out of your head.
Right.
It feels like something in the freezer or the fridge is taunting you.
It's like, come in.
I know we have this available and you're thinking about it. It's so hard to be present and you're feeling that obsessed. And obviously it's not as simple as just like snap, drop that obsession. But recognizing that there is a way out of that and it's not something you just have to be okay with and deal with, I think is the important part of recognizing the ways binge eating impacts you.
Yeah, you're like living in stress response. It's like your body's always scouting and searching for food. That is no way of enjoying life. Your body's like,
we're in danger of starving here.
So yeah, that's not a great way. But what is your advice for creating, like starting just to step into it, to create a healthy relationship with food? What's the first thing?
So I sent you the link to a mini course that I have, and it's also the way that I work with my clients is once we understand like these things, like the way binge eating is impacting you and what's leading you to binge, I recommend not just taking on all of the things at once. It's like, yeah, you could really work on feeling your feelings or not restricting or all of these things, but it doesn't really give our brain anything to grasp onto and really tangibly work on and make progress with. So what I like to help people do is distill down, like, okay, for you, if you look at your life and your relationship with food, what is one thing that you can do this week, like an action you know you did or you didn't do this week that will help you make your relationship with food a little bit better? So it could be a lot of things, and like I've made this something that's a lot of my content is built around. But if you just think about, even, okay, I'm really struggling, let's say, with once the kids go to bed and I have my alone time, looking forward to what I can eat, and I'm obsessing around that. Maybe one thing you can do this week is just to create a plan for that time that acknowledges the needs that you have. So maybe plan what you're going to eat, and then also plan how you're going to meet some of your emotional needs by just planning something you're going to look forward to. So maybe each day, when you have some time that you can just set aside, write down, I'm going to eat this and do this to fill my cup emotionally once the kids go to bed. And that's just an example of making it very tangible. It's not just like, oh, I'm going to stop binge eating at this time. It's, this is what I'm going to do. This,
like, we wish. Like, okay, I'm going to stop now.
No. Yeah. That's like when you give yourself that goal of stopping doing something, you're not really giving yourself something that you can do no matter what.
Right. And you're taking away. It's just like all about taking away if you look at it like that, instead of what can I do to nourish me?
Yeah. So, and it's definitely individual. I'm sure people listening to this, there's people that don't really struggle with binge eating, but the relationship with food just feels like it kind of sucks, or their relationship with emotions or something else. Like you said that when you stopped binge eating, you struggled with just over volunteering. I've definitely struggled with overworking. It's so easy to transition into other unhelpful, unhealthy things. And so whatever you're struggling with, if you take it on by like just use willpower and white knuckle and be strong through this, I mean, you can do that for a little bit, but it just isn't what works long term.
And you're like fighting it. You're like in a battle with it. And it's like, yeah, you can, I can do this. But what about that time when like you're tired and you're feeling drained, and then suddenly it creeps back up again? It's like really getting deep with this, like pulling up the roots with it, right? I went through that so many times of just like, I'm doing this. Like, you know, I'd have this good routine. And then suddenly, probably around the time I would just like just before my period, I just wanted to be cozy and filled up, so it would come up again. And it was like, oh, hello there.
Yeah. Because there's no doubt that everybody who's struggling with this has strength, has willpower. I know that if you're listening to this podcast, you're a strong person. But when it comes to using that strength to stop binge eating, it just doesn't work consistently enough. And it's so easy to fall back into the same pattern. And it's not because you're not strong. It's because that just doesn't work. There's something else that you need. There's another skill set. It's a more emotional skill set. And when you can recognize that, it takes away some of the shame of like, oh, I'm not strong enough. I am not good enough because I can't do this. There's something wrong with me. And instead, you can just know that, okay, there's something here that I'm needing to develop, another skill set that I need to start to work on. And that opens up so much that you can do instead of just feeling debilitating.
And also how we associate, like how we have a relationship with what is happening, because like you said before, it's a coping mechanism for us. It's trying to keep us safe in some way. And so we can first start to celebrate and be like, hey, you're trying to keep me safe. Thank you so much. There's a reason for doing that. And that's the root of it, isn't it? It's like, what is the reason? What is taking you there? And then once you understand that, once it becomes more clear, I think it's, you can have appreciation for the binging because there's a reason for it. And you can start to sit with what's really there. Because I remember when the first step for me was admitting that I had this, admitting that I was using this as a mechanism, because I actually didn't believe it for so long because it only happened at weekends. So I wouldn't admit. I was like, oh, it's just something everyone does at the weekend, you know, like people drink alcohol and get really drunk. And I just eat lots of food. Like it's just one of them weekend things. But when I realized that I was just talking myself out of it. So first of all, I'm like, okay, I realize I have something here with this. Like I need to look at it. Then what really helped me was like understanding my physiology, what was happening when I was eating so much food, like my blood sugar would skyrocket and how that would affect my emotions, my relationship with myself and the world. And then I was like looking at what are my triggers? When does this come up? Like you mentioned before. And I had to find out what I would do with that then. For you to just share about what woke you up to for seeing what was happening in your life and what was the thing that said, okay, I'm going to make a change here.
Yeah. My relationship with food definitely got to the point where it was very apparent to me that like, yeah, okay, my blood sugar, this isn't good for me. This isn't good for my mental health. And I understood, okay, there's definitely connection here between what I'm eating and how I'm eating it. Even if I'm making up for binges, it's affecting my mental health. When my gut health and all of that is out of whack, it definitely affects me. And I understood that, but still there was this feeling of like, okay, I understand that. But now it's just adding to this shame pile of like, I'm broken and I can't fix it. And so I think that there has to be for most people, and this is what I see with myself and most people that I worked with, is there's an accumulation of things that give you the strength to start to break the pattern. And what's problematic is a lot of times when people are trying to break the pattern and they get really motivated and they're like seeing all of these negative consequences and they're determined, it's like, okay, I'm going to be perfect now and I'm never going to binge again. And that doesn't work. So what I find that has to happen is there has to be a combination of this motivation and then taking on one thing at a time, really focusing on what's going to really help me right now. Like I got this motivation, I can access this motivation, but I also need something tangible to grab onto to know what I can control and what feels really doable. Because a lot of people that binge eat tend to be the type of people that are like, I'm going to be perfect now and I'm never going to binge again, and really have that hope that, okay, I'm going to start this diet or do this thing and it's going to take away this problem for me. And if you do that, you're definitely not alone, but it just doesn't work. And if it did work, you definitely would have figured this out already and you'd have the relationship with food that you want. So if you're not figuring things out and that, like, I'll be better on Monday type of thinking is just repeating itself over and over again, it just might mean that your approach needs to change a little bit. What I find with binge eating is most people are pretty clear on the fact that it's negatively impacting them. It's just they're using that against themselves instead of as something that can really help drive effective goals and actions.
That's great. They're great tips. Thank you for sharing that. I remember the thing that helped me the most was just getting out of the house. I just used to go for walks, you know, to clear my mind, get some fresh air, be in nature. And then just that shift in that space helped me with perspective as well. And just see, you know, maybe I just needed to move my body around. Maybe I just needed to take a deep breath because being locked in certain positions was triggering it for me, I noticed. Like sitting at a computer desk, like folding my body over, that used to trigger it a lot for me. yeah, I just think the information that you're sharing is so valuable. And for anyone listening that this seems on point for you, maybe what you've experienced in the past, or you feel like it's challenging you right now, then I really hope that this information is going to help you just to look more deeply into what's happening in your life. And you can always go and find Krista. I'm going to put her information in the show notes, and just to get that bit of support, because doing it alone is tough, right? Because we can't see sometimes. Our mind's very sneaky in the way that it covers mm-hmm. things up, or guides us somewhere, or like hides whatever's happening in another distraction. And somebody outside of you who can really see you can help like reflect, hey, what's going on here? Have you tried this or whatever it is? So really grateful for the work that you're doing and the support that you are offering to people. And I wonder if you could just share with the listeners before you leave, just a message, that a personal message that you would give to them if they're struggling right now.
Yeah. If you're struggling with binge eating right now, I think one of the biggest things that is important to work through is just the shame. And if you can recognize, even intellectually at first, that there's nothing wrong with you, you're not just fundamentally broken, you're just a normal human that has some skills that you can develop to make your life easier by overcoming this. That mindset shift, even if it's just intellectual at first, even if you're just thinking, I'm trying to believe this, I'm trying to believe that there's nothing wrong with me, even if you start there, having that shift can make such a difference in helping move you towards the things and the resources that are actually going to help you stop binge eating. And if you can really just practice that, commit to that, I'm trying to believe that it's not about me, that I just need to develop some new skills and there's nothing broken about me. Rehearse that, practice that, try to make that something that you think about enough that you can start to internalize it and start to find evidence for it.
That's great. Thank you so much for sharing. I'd love for you just to take the stage and share with our listeners your offerings and where they can find you.
Yeah. So the best place to connect with me is definitely Instagram. My handle is Binge Eating Coach. So it's pretty easy to find. You can also just go to Krista, Krista, and then my last name is couchcoaching.com. And that's my website. You can find some resources there. And I have a couple of free resources. And also, right now, I have a wait list for coaching. When this episode comes out, I'll be around the time where groups are starting again. So if you're interested in group coaching, then you can sign up for my wait list and be one of the first people to find out more information about that. Or if you find me when that's open, you can get in on that. But definitely a good place to start is, once you find me, take my free mini course. So that can really help with a few of the things that we talked about in this episode and making some tangible goals and things like that.
That is amazing. And I'm going to leave all of your information in the show notes so that everyone can find you more easily. Thank you so much. And also, we have your free mini course, which I'm going to put out as well. So that's awesome. Thank you so much, Krista. It's been wonderful speaking with you and sending you so much love for the next part of your journey.
Thank you.
That was great. Awesome.